Hi, I chose logging versus the environment for my socials project for the year-end project for the exam. So, logging versus environment, let's talk about that for a bit. Well, what do I know about it? Basically, logging is a major controversy. It always has been, and it probably always will be, but yeah, so why is it a controversy? Well, logging does a lot of damage to the environment. Well, that's what some people's opinions are. Logging, it tears down forest, but it also supplies wood and other materials for basically anything with wood, houses, docks, boats, whatever, any kind of thing. So yeah. And we want to know who is the most affected by this. Well, if we look into it, a lot of things are affected from logging, like jobs and like environmental people's jobs. And well, let's talk about what this affects and who this affects. Well, everybody somehow has been involved with logging, whether you bought a house, whether you have bought anything to do with wood that contributes to the logging industry. So if we talk about jobs, we'll go way back to the beginning, and the first jobs of logging actually are the surveyors. So the companies that are going to log pay surveyors to survey all the forest to where they're allowed to cut, how many trees they're allowed to cut, which trees specifically they're allowed to cut, etc. So there, it gives lots of people jobs just there before any logging has even started. The money's already getting, or people have already been getting paid. So after that, you call in basically the logging crews. So they need lots more people to run machines like skidders, fellers, bunchers, logging trucks, people to build bridges, engineers, land and forestry services, that kind of thing. So you got all those people now that are getting paid. So they are getting paid from this. They can supply food for their family, for everything, right? Pay their bills, all that kind of stuff. So there's them. Then let's say the logs get carried on logging trucks. Logging trucks bring them to the mills. Well, now you have everybody that's working at the mill that's getting paid to mill up these logs into lumber. So after all these people have worked through these logs, brought them into lumber, they're stacked on a pile. Now you get more truck drivers to bring the lumber to the ports and docks where the lumber gets shipped all the way over to China or wherever it's getting shipped to. And then that gives the people that drive the boats and the people that organize all that in the boat and shipping it to different countries, that gives them jobs. All right, so then now you got those jobs. So now it gets to China. I'm just using China as an example. It goes to China. You get all the people that are in China now, all their jobs, using the wood for whatever, making toys, all that kind of stuff. And then it gets shipped back to Canada, and it pays all the shipping people to get back to Canada. And now, so all those people can supply food for their family and all this money. And then it comes back, and now you, as a normal civilian, buy this wood, which gives the companies that sell the wood money, and you use it for your houses and what have you, right? So there's jobs. That's the jobs part of it. Well, now let's talk about what are some of the disadvantages? Why are people against logging? Well, for a big reason and a more obvious reason, it wipes out forests. And a lot of people that are against logging will fight the fight, as in it ruins forests, which ruins the animals' environment, which is a lot of people aren't fighting it for the aesthetics of it, like how it looks, although some people do, but a lot of people feel like clear-cutting forests and logging actually it damages land and resources for the animals and for a lot of people with Aboriginal people's beliefs, it's ruining their land also. So you have to really be careful about what you say when you're doing these controversies, because people can fight against logging and not really know what they're talking about. So they'll say it's ruining the environment for the animals. All right, so but so much research has gone into going against that. Like, you got logging is considered a secondary succession. So if you've taken any biology courses in school, you know secondary succession is basically a type of environmental, let's say, environmental damage caused either naturally or sometimes human, where a part of the environment has been damaged but not permanently damaged, so it can come back. So let's say log and cut, you cut down the trees, the trees will grow back, right? More trees will go back if planters plant them. That's an example of secondary succession. Primary succession is, let's say, mowing down a forest and putting a farm there. That's primary succession, where the forest won't actually come back because you have another use there. So that there's a big difference there. Secondary succession is good for the environment. A lot of people don't understand that. And so when people talk about how it's being bad for the environment and everything, they got to really look into the how secondary succession affects the environment, because a lot of people, like I said, they fight for the animal rights and how it's destroying their environment. But if you look at the stats, let's say on the deer population, a lot of research has gone into viewing the deer population and how around here, around Northwest BC, it has been increasing because a big portion of it is because of opening the forest a little bit. So the deer will live in between these logging cuts where they have easy access to food and vegetables. They have a better vantage site for predators and all that stuff. They have easier access to basically everything, and they thrive off that. And what a lot of people don't understand is how beneficial logging cuts actually are to the environment. In fact, a lot of studies have shown that we actually need these logging cuts to help the animal populations thrive and such, right? Like that. Like, if you, let's say, if you've ever gone hunting for moose, or even just driving around and you drive up a logging cut, a lot of the times with either moose or bear, you'll see bears or moose in logging cuts themselves, because the food is very easily accessible, so they don't starve. They don't go hungry because all the food is right there, easy. Because it's safe and it's very easy to see everywhere around them, and it's easy to walk through, and it's easy. It's just all around is a lot easier for animals to live in. So yeah, that's the end of that point. So what actual facts do I have on logging? What scientifically proven things are going on with logging? Well, let's start with this. If the current rate of deforestation continues, it will take less than 100 years to destroy all the rainforests on the earth. This is a fact a lot of people against logging will use because they haven't done their research properly. This fact is a global fact. If you look at Canada specifically, Canada is actually the world leader in sustainable forest management. So 94% of Canada's forests are on public land. And if you look at the deforestation in Canada, in 2010 it was less than 0.02% of our forests. And the rate has been declining actually. It has actually been declining over the last 25 years. So anybody who's telling you that logging has been increasing is actually false in this fact. In 1990, 63,100 hectares were lost to deforestation, but now in 2014, this figure has dropped to only 34,000 200 hectares, which is almost right in half, which is a substantial amount if you think about how many trees and resources that actually is. So like I said before, deforestation only occurs when forests are permanently removed, so the land can be used for something else, like harvesting, and let's say, like, yeah, farmland down south or anything like that. Forest fires and insect infestations do not insect infestations do not constitute deforestation. So, since the affected areas will grow back. I will cut that out, hopefully. According to laws, regulations, and some policies across Canada, all areas harvested on public land must be reforested, either by replanting or through natural regeneration. So, this is a big thing, because a lot of people actually don't know this, but when a logging cut gets logged, and this is a law in Canada, all over Canada, if a logging cut gets logged, they must, as a federal law in Canada, replant that area and the trees in that area. So that is actually a very big job around this area, around the northwest of BC, is replanting. You see people set up camps and all this stuff, and they go out there and they replant the trees that have actually been cut down so they can either be re-logged in many years from now or let grow out like a normal forest. So yeah, if I go back to how the current rate of deforestation continues, it'll destroy all the rainforests on Earth. If you look at places down south in, let's say, Brazil and the Amazon rainforest, Amazon rainforest is getting clear cut and it is not getting replanted and it's not doing it properly. So when people say that these facts are true about how if it continues we won't have any more forests, are very false. Maybe in other countries that's true, but if you look in Canada, like I said, only 0.02% of our forests are logged. And so if you take that, and it's actually been declining by like half in 25 years, so you have to think about that when you think about logging versus the environment. You know, you have to realize that even machines nowadays, they're getting more eco-friendly. Everything's getting smarter and more efficient and less pollutant. Of course, logging cuts from back in, let's say, the 1960s, a lot of them, they definitely did not have the rules and regulations that we do now about logging. So if you look on some of those logging cuts, you'll see tires, you'll see oil cans, oil pails, mixed crap, just garbage all over the place. And actually it is a law now that if you re-log one of those logging cuts, you must pick up the garbage that is on your land. So if they are re-logging an area and there's garbage left there from the 60s, it's by law that they have to pick up and clear out the garbage on that land before they leave, which is, it's very nice. It's very good for Canada to make these rules, just to help people understand how logging really affects, or how Canada really appreciates logging and wants to protect it. Of course, there's lots of good things about logging, but there definitely is problems and things that are inevitable by not logging. So basically, you're opening it up to possibility while logging, and a lot of that is landslides, mudslides. Just last year, actually, I was fishing on a river and I hadn't watched it, but the night before, a landslide had come down. It washed across the river, which turned the river, and it flooded out a community just outside of my town. And if you follow that mudslide, a lot of people don't know this, but I took some time to look into it. If you follow that mudslide, the very start of that mudslide is the exact height of a logging road. So I will put a little clip into here showing you a little bit what that's about. But so basically when they log, they cut down the trees, and trees and roots are basically a very big part of holding the ground together. So if you take trees, you cut them down, they're dead, right? So the roots are starting to rot, and all the ground around that is rotting. So let's say there's 3 feet of dirt between the top of the ground and bedrock, which is basically the hard part of the earth. Like, so it's just rock. Everything grows on top of that. And let's say it starts pouring rain and pouring rain, pouring and pouring, pouring rain. The rain seeps in between, or it seeps down through the dirt, hits the rock. Now the water's flowing in between the rock and the dirt. So now that all the trees are gone, there's no roots to hold all that dirt together and stop it from falling down the hill. So what happens is, once that water flows under there, it loosens up the dirt, and eventually, like you see in mudslides and landslides, it breaks away from each other. So if you're on a big hill and the water is running in between the rock and the dirt, the ground will just start to break apart, and it eventually will just fall. And then it collects and collects and collects, and it just rushes down, once it starts going down, it pulls more and more dirt, and eventually just ends up just a big landslide and a big pile of dirt on the bottom of the mountain. So like I said about this mountain that I had seen earlier, by the fishing hole, if you look at the very top of it is equal height with a logging road, which means when they had logged, they had not used their drainage properly, or they did not take into account the depth of the dirt before the bedrock. Which actually, so we before that landslide, we had had a heavy, heavy, heavy rain, one of the hardest rains that it has rained around this area in a very long time, and that loosened up the ground and broke it apart from each other, which caused a landslide to happen. And the farther it goes down, the more it picks up more dirt, more dirt, more dirt, and it becomes this huge landslide and mudslide, which could be catastrophic. So to prevent these nowadays, that logging cut that had happened had maybe been logged probably 50 years ago plus. Nowadays they have a lot more better systems of draining, culverts and drain rock and that kind of stuff, so it's been taken care of a lot better, but the risk is still there, and that is something I think and I believe that we need to work on, to help that. So I personally have had pros and cons to logging, but I'm more leaning towards pro. I am pro logging. I have family in the logging industry. I have friends in the logging industry. I have always been a believer in it, but because I there that doesn't mean I am 100% for it. That means I agree with it. That doesn't mean there's things I wouldn't change. It doesn't mean that there's things I don't believe in. I love fishing, I love hunting, I love all sorts of outdoor stuff, hiking, everything. I would hate to see my favorite mushroom picking spot or my favorite fishing spot mowed down with force. I don't like that, I don't believe in that. But that's where the controversy comes in, is in, so what if it was me? What if it was supplying me with a job? What if I was getting paid to cut down these trees? What if it was me that needed to pay bills to keep my family alive, to keep food on the table? Then what, right? What would I do? And so my favorite mushroom picking spot is now either logged and I get paid to do that, or I can stand up for it and not do it. So that's a big controversy. Now I know a lot of people have this. I've talked to people about this. They have the same kind of controversy. So it's hard because you want to stand up for the environment, but it's hard when you strongly believe in jobs. I believe around here in the Northwest is a strongly job-based community and tourist-based community. Logging is one of the biggest industries around here, if not the biggest. So excuse me, you look at all the jobs it has created, and you have to think to yourself, if you started a revolt against logging in this community, how many people would be out of jobs? How many more people would be homeless? And how many people wouldn't be able to supply food for their families? If you think about that, and you think about the chain reaction of the amount of jobs that would be lost from logging, and put yourself in that position. Put yourself in the position, now you don't work a 9-to-5 job. Now you don't get to come home to your families every day and eat lunch and enjoy special time with them. Now you're out in the bush. Okay, you're getting paid probably a lot better, but you're out in the bush. You lost your job. Let's say you lost your 9-to-5 job. All right, you can't get any more jobs. A logging job comes up. All right, but you've always been against logging. All right, so what do you do now? You get offered a job to log, but you're against logging. What do you do? What do you do? So, you could be a logger and be against logging, but that's such a being a logger is such a passionate thing. You have to be passionate for it. If you're all nitty gritty about the environment, and you're down there mowing down trees, you have to have the right attitude about it. Especially in the environment where a lot of the people that are loggers, they. I'm a strong believer in the Bible and in Christianity. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I believe in God. For me, I want to know what God has said about this. I love going out in God's creation. I love enjoying it. In fact, logging cuts are, I think, one of the best things to explore God's creation. Like you find logging roads and you go up them, and you take these logging roads that they used to log on that are now abandoned, and you drive and you can explore things that you'd never be able to explore without these. You can take these logging roads, go way up mountains, and see things that you'd never be able to see without them. It gives a whole new opportunity to view the world in a different way. It gives you an top opportunity to enjoy God's creation and all that's in it, I was looking at verses and studying up a little bit on what God says about the environment and what we should do with it in logging. And the best thing I think I found is a Bible verse, and I'll talk a little bit about it, is Genesis 2 verse 15, and it says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to serve it and to guard and protect it." I feel, this means that we have to be, let's say, like stewards of the earth, we have to take care of it. And a lot of people will argue with this point, but taking care of it doesn't mean don't touch it. Taking care of it means doing what's best for us, doing what's best for the environment, and doing what God calls us to do. And God tells us to protect our families. God tells us to supply and put our family, first. Put God first, put our family second. So we have to be careful with this because, I twist my words easily, and I don't want people coming at me saying, you said this, blah blah blah, but this I truly believe, logging is a sustainable thing. Logging is a sustainable thing. It's proven. And when God says that we have to serve and guard and protect our earth, serving and guarding, you take that, and we're serving. We are cutting down these trees. The trees are getting put to good use, right? To build houses, to build all sorts of wooden things. It gives a better environment for the animals to live in. It gives opportunity for new growth and fresh and new life. And it also, on a minor scale, it gives us an opportunity to explore God's creation further. It
people can take that the wrong way and be like, well, you could walk up the mountain and enjoy God's creation better. But honestly, you don't see that much anymore. You see people taking their quads, their snowmobiles, whatever, up these logging roads. You can go way up in the mountains, have a picnic, enjoy God's creation, soak it all in, you know? And it means a lot to a lot of people to have the access to this. And not a lot of places in are not I shouldn't say not a lot, but they're it's not ex accessible everywhere. You know, logging, you can't get to, or you there isn't logging everywhere. So we are really blessed to where I live in Northwest BC to let's say to be accessible to this stuff, you know, like to understand how blessed we are to be in an area where we can, you know, enjoy God's creation in a great way, and yeah, it's great. So, given this subject, I was instructed to talk about head. So, let's say head. An example head is what do I know? What are some facts about logging? Then I was supposed to talk about heart, where it gets a little more personal, as in, is why is this important to us, to the world? What does this subject, you know, what does it deal with, and what does God say about it in a biblical perspective? And why am I passionate about it? You know, why did I think it was a good idea to do it? And now we're going to talk a little bit more about hands, where it's more a hands-on thing. You know, what can I do about this in 2018? How can I make a difference in the world, you know, with my hands and what my actions, you know, what action can I take, you know, to redeem this subject and area and to God's original intent? You know, what can I do to make that happen? And how can I further, you know, God's kingdom in this area? How, come from Christian perspective, you know, how can I show people, you know, the effects of this and my personal beliefs on it? So, you know, if we go on to a hands-on thing about logging, you know, a lot of people's perspective on hands-on would be, you know, if you're against it, making a sign and standing in front of a logging truck saying, "Don't log, I'm not gonna move, you can run me over before I'll move." And you know, a lot of time that just ends up involving the police and court cases, and you know, that it's not helpful. It doesn't help things. A hands-on thing would be doing your research properly, and you know, like putting in the work to figure out the true facts and the true things you want to change. So let's say all the hydraulic oil that goes into the machines, you know, if a hydraulic oil line bursts, now you got hydraulic oil all over the ground, gets soaked in, it stays there forever. Maybe a hands-on thing we could do in 2018 would be to find a more eco-friendly way to run hydraulics. So more eco-friendly oil, let's say, to use, or a more eco-friendly way to log. Less pollution, less exhaust, less fumes, you know, that kind of thing. And how can I, you know, how can I personally make a difference in this world? You know, and you want to look at this subject, and it's a tough subject, because with logging in such a big industry and affects so many people, you think, you know, what can one person do? You know, what difference can one person do? And it's a hard subject to talk about, because I don't know, you know, me as a person, I can state my opinion, and if people back me up on my opinion and believe in what I believe in, then maybe we can come together and talk about what we feel should change, what we feel is good, what we feel that maybe the Canadian government should do, and then we can approach, let's say, our mayor and propose our idea to him, and let that get brought into the federal, you know, the federal jurisdiction. And so when it says what can I do, you know, there's not a lot I can do in this subject, because I am a believer in logging. I believe logging is a good thing. I believe it's good for Canada and the people of Canada. And right now, I don't feel like there's a lot that we can change, and there's not a lot we should change. I feel it's on a healthy level, and if you look, actually, to mention more about the facts, if you've noticed, probably not unless you've really paid attention, but back in like the 60s and 70s, logging was a clear-cut thing. You know, they'd take a forest, a big chunk of forest, and mow it all down, log it, get rid of it, replant it. Nowadays, it's a lot of little tiny spots, you know, less noticeable, less environmentally effective, and less, you know, hard on the earth. And, you know, there's something to be said about that. That means you got these scientists and these people that are trying to make it a more beneficial and more environmentally friendly way. And that started with one person's idea, you know. Everything starts, maybe not everything, but most things start with one guy's idea that goes to another person, that goes to another person, and so on, you know. So if you have a way of, let's say, wanting to change something, you know, talk to people, get people's opinions, see what they think, and then you go from there, you know, that kind of thing. Ways that we can make it more of a environmentally friendly way, you know, environmentally friendly job and environmentally friendly benefit to Canada's economy. We want to know, a lot of people want to know, actually, how can we, let's say, how can we further God's kingdom in this area? So, like, how can we put God first in this subject, and how can we make it so it's honoring Him and doing that in the right way? And, you know, a lot of logging companies are about the money, you know, get it done. If a bunch of oil and crap sits on the ground, you know, they don't care. They'll hide it up. They'll cover it. And I think we, as God's followers and God's children, need to take action on that and to tell people, you know, this is God's land that He's given to us. We cannot take advantage of it. You know, we need to treat it with respect. Not saying don't log it. What we're saying is, you know, we want to do it in the most friendly way to the environment. We want to do it to the most effective way. You know, we want to log this area. We want to clean up after ourselves. We want to replant it. We want to leave it like we were not there. You know, we want to, or at least leave it with the least amount of, you know, environmental distress. So cleaning up your garbage, you know, blocking off unsafe logging roads so you don't have people, you know, going up it and hurting themselves, or making it, you know, cutting a slot in the road where a creek can run through so it doesn't have to wash out everywhere, you know. Things that we can do to improve the effects of logging. I think that's about it. If you have any questions, feel free to message me. My name and contacts are in the podcast below. If you'd like me to talk about anything else, any other subjects on podcast, just let me know and I'll get back to you. I hope you enjoyed listening to my perspective on logging and the environment, and I will see you guys next time.